May 22nd, the Holy Martyr Basiliscus. Basiliscus was a kinsman of St. Theodore Tiro. He was tortured together with Eutropius and Cleonicus. When the latter two, Eutropius and Cleonicus, were crucified and expired, March 3rd, then Basiliscus was again returned to prison. At that time, there occurred a change in the emperor's deputy so that Basiliscus remained imprisoned for a long time. With tears, Basiliscus prayed that God not deprive him of a martyr's death. After lengthy prayers, the Lord Jesus himself appeared to him, promised to fulfill his wish, and sent him to his village to bid farewell to his mother and brothers. At that time, Agrippa, a new deputy, was appointed and ordered that Basiliscus be brought from the village immediately. En route from the village to the town of Amasi, the Lord, through his martyr, worked a great miracle and, as a result, many people believed in Christ. Agrippa ordered the martyr to offer a sacrifice to the idol Apollyon. Basiliscus said, "Apollyon means one who kills, the destroyer," and with fervent prayer turned the idol into dust, and with a heavenly fire burned the temple. The frightened Agrippa attributed this to magic and ordered Basiliscus beheaded. At that moment, Agrippa went insane and, in his madness, went to the scaffold, found a little blood of the martyr in the dust, placed it under his belt, and he was healed. Coming to his senses, he was baptized. Later on, Marinus, a citizen of Comana, the place of the execution of Basiliscus, built a church over the relics of the saint where many afflicted people found healing. The Holy Martyr John Vladimir, King of Serbia. John Vladimir was of princely lineage from Zahumlje. His grandfather was called Havolomir, and his father Petroslav. As a ruler, he was wise, merciful, meek, chaste, and brave. He fervently prayed to God and voluntarily built churches and supported them. However, he had difficult struggles both internally and externally. Internally, from heretics and the Bogomils, and externally, from Tsar Samuel and Tsar Basil, who wanted to conquer him. Samuel deceitfully captured him and cast him into prison. While he languished in prison, an angel of God appeared to him and foretold that he would shortly be freed, but that he would die a martyr's death. Getting to know him better, Samuel grew to like him and gave his daughter, Kassara, to be his wife. When Samuel died, his son Radomir was crowned Tsar, but Vladislav, his twin brother, slew Radomir and deceitfully summoned Vladimir and beheaded him in the year 1015 AD. The relics of this saintly king repose uncorrupt in his monastery near Elbasan, and over his relics, throughout the ages and even today, numerous miracles occur. In 1925, a church was built to honor this crown martyr adjacent to the monastery of St. Nahum, since John Vladimir was the benefactor of this glorious monastery. The Second Ecumenical Council. This council was called during the reign of Emperor Theodosius the Great in Constantinople in the year 381 AD. Its goal was to confirm the Orthodox teaching concerning the Holy Spirit, about whom the Patriarch Macedonius of Constantinople erroneously taught. He erroneously taught that the Holy Spirit is God's creature and not a divine person, hypostasis, equal to the Father and Son and one in essence with them in the Holy Trinity. Macedonius was condemned by this council, and the teaching about the Holy Spirit was added to the Nicene symbol of faith, the Nicene Creed. The Holy Righteous Melchizedek, King of Salem. Melchizedek was a contemporary of our forefather Abraham. According to the words of the Apostle Paul, he was a king, priest, and prototype of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 7. Hymn of Praise, Melchizedek, King of Salem.
Melchizedek, King of Salem, any one of his own did he have? A king and a priest he was, of the highest King God. Then Abraham he was greater. A mystery he was and remains. He blessed Abraham. To him Abraham gave a tribute. King and priest in the world, the prototype of Christ he became. Peace and justice he proclaimed. A mystery he was and remains. Of him his origin and end is unknown, nor the length of his earthly life. But that he was it is known, of a man, a beautiful example, of a man, a beautiful example, King, Saint, Righteous One, that Melchizedek became a prophet of Christ and a prototype. A prophet he is, without a word, but with a most beautiful personality. A prophet he is, without a word, a prophet with righteousness and mercy.
Reflection. How was Moses able to fast for 40 days? How were the many Christian ascetics able to live a long life in extreme abstinence from food and drink? For the physical man who does not know about the spiritual life, it is impossible to believe. It is impossible even to prove it to him, for the understanding of this is achieved only by experience. When the torturers of St. Basiliscus detained him for 3 days without food and water, and when they offered him food to eat, he refused, saying that he was not hungry. "I am," says he, "filled with immortal food, and do not want to receive mortal food. You are fed by earthly bread, but the heavenly word of God feeds me. Wine makes you happy, and the grace of the Holy Spirit makes me happy. Meat satisfies you, and fasting satisfies me. Physical power strengthens you, and the cross of Christ strengthens me. Gold makes you rich, and the love of Christ enriches me. Clothing adorns you, and good works adorn me. You are made happy with laughter, and I am comforted by the Spirit through prayer. Here is a man, one out of many, and there are many more upon whom the word of the Lord is confirmed. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." St. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Contemplation. To contemplate the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, in the mystery, sacrament, of baptism. How that grace cleanses man from original sin. How it includes man among the citizens of the freedom of Christ. Homily. About the bodies of men as temples. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. For what, brethren, did our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit? Because we are purchased at a price. The Lord Jesus purchased us with his cares, labors, sufferings, and death. Because of this price, we were made worthy to become the temple of the Holy Spirit. But someone will say that price was paid a long time ago, and we live 20 centuries later. It is all the same. The price was not paid for one time and for one generation, but rather for all times and for all generations from Adam to the dreadful judgment. And if there would be billions and billions of human beings born on earth, the price is paid for all of them. The price is so great and rich that if all the sand in the sea were changed into men, the price would be sufficient. Brethren, from what moment do our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit? From the moment of our baptism. Although the price is paid for all men, only those who are baptized become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, what is the consequence that the Holy Spirit lives in us? The consequence is this, that we are not our own anymore. When the Holy Spirit takes up his abode in our bodies, then he becomes the master over us, and not us over it, the body, nor over ourselves. Then, brethren, we are the possession of God the Holy Spirit. Brethren, what does it mean at the mystical supper, Last Supper, when the Lord washed even the feet of Judas, and when Judas received a piece of bread from the Lord? It says, Satan entered him. St. John chapter 13, verse 27. Oh, what dreadful words! Oh, what a horrible punishment upon the traitor of God! Brethren, does that not mean that when we reject God, who washes and feeds us, the Spirit of God departs from us and, in his place, Satan settles in? Oh, what a stern meaning! Oh, what a terrible reminder to all of us who are baptized! The Holy Spirit settled in us during our baptism and made us a temple for himself. But the Holy Spirit does not dwell in us by force, but rather according to our good will. If we transgress against him, He departs from us, and in place of him, Satan enters, and our physical temple is transformed into a pigsty. O all good Holy Spirit, do not leave us. Have mercy on us and forgive us. To you be glory and thanks always. Amen.